chapter number 23. I don't know what I said, but 23 is the right place to go. Last Sunday, we started a series of messages on the seven last sayings of what Jesus said while he was hanging on the cross. Jesus hung on the cross between 9 a.m. He was crucified at 9 a.m. in the morning, and he died at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So there's 6 hours there that he said seven different things. Last Sunday, we talked about the first thing that he said, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we preached about that last Sunday. The second saying that Jesus said is found in our text again. A lot of these verses we read last Sunday, so if you were here, they're probably going to sound familiar. Verse number 33 of Luke 23, are you there? Say amen. It should be on the screen there for you. "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord," have you ever called on him? "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And this was Jesus' response to his question. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Father, the singing, all of that stuff, the congregational singing, the special music, the offering, all of that stuff is a part of worship that gets us ready to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we have to have the word. That's where we get fed. That's where we get our sustenance from. And Lord, we got to have your word. And so I pray, Lord, for the next few minutes that you would give us your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And so, the Lord, that's what we're asking for. I pray if there's anybody on the sound of my voice, whether here in person, whether they're watching by way of internet, Lord, if they've never come to the place where we're talking about today, the place called Calvary, I pray that they would do that today before it's everlasting too late. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You ever go through the Bible and you look and you read and you study the last sayings of a dying man? There are three people here on this hill called Calvary. There's a fellow on the right, there's a fellow on the left, and there's one in the middle. These three have conversations in these 6 hours that they're hanging on the cross. There are seven different things. We told you those last week. Father, forgive them, for he know not what to do. We preached on that last week. Today, Jesus says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then next Sunday, hopefully, we'll talk about woman, behold thy son. He's talking to his mother Mary there, and John, who are standing side by side. And then ultimately around noon, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then somewhere along in there, he says, I thirst. And then after that, he says the famous phrase that most of us are familiar with, it is finished. And then notice how he starts these seven sayings. Father, he starts talking to God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He starts with a prayer. He ends with a prayer. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And then Jesus dies. Here we see those seven different things, and we'll notice in our text when they come to the place. It's almost like when you come to the place of Calvary, you want to take your shoes off because you're standing on holy ground. Every verse in the Bible leads, whether you're in the Old Testament, the New Testament, wherever you are, it's almost like every verse leads to this place called Calvary. This place where sin met grace. God did at this place what man couldn't do any other place. This place where Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe because he loved a bunch of people that owed a debt they could not pay. In the Old Testament, they looked to this place. In the New Testament, they looked at this place. And we here in Millsfield Community, we're looking back on this place. Never been a place like this place. I'm sort of hung up on this place, but never been a place like this place. We sing about this place. We preach about this place. We shout about this place. Because I've been to this place, I'm going to that place. And I don't need this place no more, because I'm headed to his place. Somebody ought to say amen. Now, I know you lost an hour of sleep, but so did I, and I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. Thank God for this place. Listen to me. If you're hurting, this is the place. If you're lost, this is the place. If you're saved and away from God, this is the place. If you need some help, this is the place. If you're discouraged, this is the place. If you're depressed, this is the place. If you're anxious, this is the place. Never been a place. The world needs to hear about this place. This is where I got saved. This is where I got fit for heaven. This is where God, suspended between heaven and earth, joined man with a holy God and brought us and reconciled the world unto himself. Thank God for this place. Hallelujah. That was all extra. I ain't even got to the sermon yet. We'll have to take up another offering. The Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So on the cross, we hear his words and we see his heart about what he says. During the Lord's ministry, there's a lot of people that believed on the Lord. A lot of people that believed on the Lord. Matter of fact, the rich believed on the Lord. Joseph of Arimathea was one. He was a rich man. The religious believed on the Lord. There was a fellow by the name of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was religious. He believed on the Lord. There was a lady rejected, not only rich, not only religious, but there was a lady that was brought to him and caught in the act of adultery. Y'all remember her? She was rejected and she believed on the Lord. But here on the cross, there's conversations taking place. And there are thieves here, one on the right, one on the left. And I don't know the man on the right. I don't know the man on the left. But I do know the man in the middle. There are three crosses. One cross of rejection, one cross of reception, and one cross of redemption. You don't have to know who the man is. Their names are not mentioned. You ain't got to know that thief on the right name. You ain't got to know that thief on the left's name. But you better know the man in the middle. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, there was three of them on there. One was in the midst. John in Revelation, I'm enjoying my own preaching. Y'all just sit there and listen. In Revelation, John said, I saw seven golden candlesticks and one in the midst appeared to be the Son of God. All right, you're not liking it. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fiery furnace. The king looked in and said, I thought we threw in three. I'm counting four. And the fourth that's in the midst of the fire appears to be the Son of God. You better know the man in the middle. Three men were meeting in death. Two were guilty. One was innocent.
One's paying a debt that was not his. Two were paying a debt that they did owe. Remember this, there was one that was dying in sin. There was one dying to sin. And the one in the middle was dying for sin. The one that rejected died in his sins. The one that accepted, hallelujah, died to his sin. But the one in the middle died for our sins. Aren't you glad that Christ died for sinners? I heard about a lady that came down. She met the preacher down there, and she wanted to get saved. And she said, "Preacher, I want to get saved." And the preacher said, "Hey, do you realize you're a sinner? Do you know that Jesus died for you?" She said, "Oh, yeah, I know Jesus died for everybody." He said, "Oh, no. Did Jesus die for you as a sinner?" She said, "Oh, no, I'm not a sinner." He said, "Ma'am, you got to go back. You can't be saved." She said, "Oh." She came down the next Sunday and she said, "I want to be saved." He said, "Do you realize you're a sinner?" She said, "Oh, no, I'm not a bad person." He said, "Ma'am, you can't be saved." She went on back down. By that third Sunday, she come down that aisle. Boy, there were tears going down her face. She said, "Preacher, I want to be saved." He said, "Ma'am, do you know you're a sinner?" She said, "Yes, and I know that he died for the world. I know that he died for everybody. But I realize this morning that he died just for me." But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me give you three things real quick, three long things real quick, can I? Number one, the particulars of the scene. You've already seen it. I've already explained it to you. You've got three crosses there. I've already explained that to you. Both sides, Jesus has two thieves on either side. And there between those two robbers hung the Redeemer. Two robbers and the Redeemer. You say, why is that so important and so significant? Well, Jesus came to identify with sinners. He was born among sinners. He lived among sinners. He died among sinners. His blood was shed for sinners. You say, why was Jesus crucified between two thieves? You mean to tell you? Y'all remember where this thing all started in the Garden of Eden? In the Garden of Eden, God says, "There's a tree right there. I don't want you to eat of it. For the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Adam and Eve went and took off of that tree something that didn't belong to them. If you take something that don't belong to you, it makes you a thief, sinner, thief. God says, "Those are mine. Don't take it. The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." They went over there, took, makes them two thieves. So how do you fix that? Jesus dies between two thieves. Well, boy, I wish I had some Bible readers in the house tonight. Not only that, but we shared it with you last week in Isaiah 53. It says he was numbered with the transgressors. You notice this right here. Both of these thieves could see him. Both of these thieves could hear him. Both of these thieves have access to Jesus. Both of the thieves heard what he said, his conversations with God. Both of those men heard. One died and went to hell, and the other one died and went to heaven. You say, "Preacher, how can this be? One wanted freedom from his situation, and the other one wanted freedom from sin." One just wanted out of it. He says, "If thou be," I don't know if you're Christ or not, but "if thou be, would you save yourself? And while you're saving yourself, save our hides. Get me out of this situation." This other one over here says, "I ain't worried about our situation. I realize I'm a sinner. And I want you to save me from sin." Hallelujah. You got two of them. Every person, listen to me, every person has an opportunity. Doesn't matter where you was raised up. Doesn't matter. Well, preacher, it was my upbringing. I didn't raise up in church like you were. It don't make any difference. We have access with the Father, and you know he died for you. You have an opportunity. He says, if I be lifted up, and he was, he'll draw all men unto himself. You can either receive or you can reject. Guilt made both men unfit for earth, but grace made one of them men fit for heaven. The particulars of the scene, but let me get right here. The prayer of the sinner. Notice the prayer of the sinner. It's found in about verse number 42. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This fella is on his deathbed. This fella knows he ain't getting out of this situation. This fella knows that there is no hope without God. There is no hope, and he is facing eternity. And he looks over, and he says, Lord. He recognized him as Lord. The other thief never called him Lord. But this one says, Lord. So obviously, he knows who he is. Lord, would you remember me? He saw himself helpless and hopeless, and he said, Lord, would you remember me? There's one day. Matter of fact, he said over there in about verse 41, he says, we are getting the due rewards of our deeds. We're dying. He's looking over at his partner in crime, and he's looking over at him and says, hey, me and you, leave the man alone. He ain't done nothing wrong. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Judas says, I betrayed innocent blood. Pilate's wife says, have no dealings with that just man. Hey, we're hanging on this cross because we are getting what we deserve because we're sinners. But this man has done nothing amiss. This man hadn't done anything wrong. There was his confession. This poor man, Psalm 34 and verse number 6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. Hallelujah. Have you ever cried out to the Lord? Amen. That was his confession. But notice his courage. Now watch this. Notice his courage. The thief over here, he don't care if there's five people standing around, if there's two people standing around, or if there's 5,000 out there listening. He don't care who knows whose side he's on. Now, I've heard people, now listen, don't take offense to this, but I've heard people, and they say, well, I don't want to come down there in front of all them people. Come on. I got news for you. If you ever realize you're a sinner, and you're facing eternity right in the face, and you're without hope, and without help, and without God, you don't care if there's five people in this room, or 5,000 in this room, you don't care what anybody else thinks, you're just worried about what he thinks. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He already heard him say, Father, forgive him. So his confession, his courage, now his conviction. His conviction, he says, Lord, hey, pull up over there Psalm 25. Psalm 25 in verse number 6, remember. Now, listen, when we read, it's on the screen. Watch this. When we read this, y'all try your best. Try your best to stay in your seat and don't get excited and act like a bunch of Pentecostals. Tommy's already messed it up. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not my sins of my youth. Does somebody want to testify right there? Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. That's what that thief was praying, Psalm 25. He said, Lord, remember me. Remember, that word remember is to think upon, to look upon, to respond in mercy and grace when one least deserves it. Now, this is what he meant. He believed he was Lord. He believed he was Lord. Maybe you're hot. Maybe that's what's wrong with y'all. I know you lost an hour of sleep. I know that. But so did I. I still had to come to work today. He recognizes him as Lord. He knew him as his Lord. Watch this. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, get this right here while we're finding a landing spot in the next 45 minutes. Jesus is hanging on the cross. All three of these guys are fixing to die. Would y'all agree with that? They're not getting off. But the thief says, Lord, remember me when you get to your kingdom. So he has to believe that he's going to die and be resurrected. He's got to believe in the resurrection because he's looking at a dead man. Lord, remember me when you get to your kingdom. So he believes in the resurrection. Did y'all know this? This is just a little side note. We won't have to take a little extra offering for this one. But do you know this one? That Jesus had to die first before those two thieves could die. You don't know why? Because nobody in the Bible has ever died when Jesus was around. Lazarus was 4 days dead when Jesus got up there. And when Jesus got there, it was a funeral. Jesus was supposed to preach the funeral. And the funeral got canceled because the dead man got up. So these guys couldn't die until he died, because you can't die around resurrection. Now, you're not getting that like I'm getting it, but hallelujah anyway. They had to wait until, matter of fact, old D.L. Moody said, first time he said, I'm going to preach a funeral. And I may have told you this. And he said, I got to preach a funeral. And so I'm going to search the Bible. He's brand new in preaching. He's going to search the Bible, and I'm going to find a funeral that Jesus preached, and I'm going to preach that one. And boy, he searched, and every funeral Jesus went to, the funeral got canceled, the casseroles got brought back, and the potato salad got took back to Kroger, because the funeral session was over when he got there. Hallelujah. But he says, remember, so obviously he believes in the resurrection. He believes, Lord, remember me when you get to your kingdom. So obviously he believes he's a king. And he has a kingdom. Lord, remember me when you get to your kingdom. Now, I showed you the particulars of the scene and the prayer of the sinner. But let me give you this third and last point, the promise of the Savior. This is how Jesus responded to his ask. Lord, remember me when I come to thy kingdom. Jesus looks over at him and says, today, you are going to be with me in paradise. He said, preacher, why are you pointing down? Because this is still, Jesus hadn't died yet, and so we're still in the Old Testament. Jesus starts the New Testament. And Jesus has to be the first fruits of the resurrection. And so everybody in the Old Testament that died, they didn't go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. Luke 16, I ain't got time. That's Wednesday night. You'll have to get here to learn that. But, hey, they didn't go straight to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. So all them Old Testament saints are in Abraham's bosom down there. You say, how do you know it's down there? It's because Bible says, Matthew 12 and 40, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's in the middle of the earth. Now, all them Old Testament saints, you got Abraham, David, I may not can do that. Let's turn the lows down off of it. Abraham, David, all them Old Testament saints are down there waiting. They know the Messiah is coming. They don't know who he is. They don't know when he's going to show up, but they know he's coming. Don't you know that every dead person that died in faith, and they go down there to Abraham's bosom and the door handle jiggles, they get up and say, Is that you? Oh, no, that ain't you. They sit down and wait. The next person that dies, they jiggle. Is that him? Is that him? No, that ain't him. For 4,000 years of Old Testament history, they're waiting. Ephesians 4, read it when you get home. I ain't got time to tell you. They're waiting. Matter of fact, somebody comes. Is that him? Oh, that's John the Baptist. John, put your head back on your shoulders and get in here. Get somewhere and sit down. Matter of fact, that door handle jiggled again. Is that him?
Is that him? No, you ain't him. Who are you? I'm just an old thief. I'm just an old thief. Oh, well, you ain't here. How'd you get down here? Well, the Messiah, the guy y'all are looking for, he's coming in right in behind me. Yeah. And he walks in, clears out the paradise, Abraham's bosom. He takes the blood to the mercy seat in heaven, dumps the blood off in the mercy seat of heaven, and all the Old Testament saints now are in heaven because Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15, is the first fruits of the resurrection. Amen. That's why he said, today, you're going to be with me. You're going to go down there with me and be in paradise. You know how quick salvation takes? Right there, today. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let me say this. Two thieves. Y'all see them? He didn't join the church. He didn't join the church. He didn't get baptized. And he didn't get baptized. He wound up in hell. He wound up in heaven. Are you saved? He didn't take the Lord's Supper. He didn't take the Lord's Supper. He wound up with the devil, and he wound up with Jesus. Are you saved? He joined the church. He joined the church. Didn't make any difference. He wound up in hell with his church membership, and he wound up in heaven with his. Are you saved? He didn't keep the Ten Commandments. That's what he's hanging on the cross for. He sure didn't keep them. He didn't keep the golden rule. Be good to your neighbor. He didn't be good to his neighbor, keep the golden rule. He wound up in heaven. He wound up in hell. Are you saved? You say, preacher, what's the difference in them two? The man in the middle. Before I got saved, I was over here. And now I'm over here. You say, preacher, how'd you get from over there to over here? I had to go through the middle. I almost jumped in your lap, Miss Nancy. Had to go through the middle. Somebody said, preacher, how you know you saved? I'm fixing to tell you right now. How you know you saved? I'm covered. Are y'all covered? Are y'all covered? That's how I know I'm saved. I'm covered. I ain't going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because he's good. Up in the Canadian Rockies, there's a place called the Great Divide. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but it's called the Great Divide. And they say that two raindrops can fall out of heaven and land in the same spot. One can go west and eventually make it to the Pacific Ocean. One drop will go east and go into the Atlantic Ocean. They come from the same place. They fall at the same spot. And they go two different directions. Which direction are you going? Two thieves fell out from the same place, landed at the same spot, and went two different directions. Are you saved? You going to heaven? You say, preacher, I'm a member. I don't care where you're a member.
That's right.
Are you saved? Well, brother so-and-so baptized. Are you saved? Your baptismal certificate ain't going to do you a bit of good. Are you saved? Well, Brother Jeremy, I've never killed nobody. Wrong answer. Brother Jeremy, I've never smoked, drank, and wrong answer. There's going to be people in hell that's never smoked or drank.
Amen.
I know you don't hear this most places. But are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Are you on this side? Are you on this side? Which side you on? If you want to get from over there to over here, you got to go through the middle. And the one in the middle died for me. Are you saved? Sammy's coming to play. Bow your heads. When they come to the place called Calvary, when they come to the place. called Calvary. Have you been to that place? There's never been a place like that place. You say, preacher, how do you get saved? Neither one of those thieves walked an aisle. Neither one of those thieves shook a preacher's hand. Neither one of them thieves signed a card. Neither one of them thieves joined a church. Neither one of them thieves got baptized. Neither one of them thieves spoke in tongues. Neither one of them jumped pews. They didn't sign a banana and become one of the bunch. Salvation is not walking an aisle. Salvation is not joining the church. That man didn't do either. He just looked and said, Lord, I know who you are. I'm a sinner. You're not. I'm getting what I deserve. And you're paying for what you don't deserve. I'm a sinner and you're not. Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Let's all stand over the building. If you need to come pray, come on. Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me.